All right, so good afternoon. My name is David Lubick. I'm from Rutgers University. I work under Professor Tom Molnar under his hazelnut breeding program. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the effect of pollen parents on oil characteristics in European hazelnuts. So why do we want to work on hazelnuts? Because right now they're mostly grown in Turkey, Italy, and we also have a pretty large crop in the U.S. here in Oregon. But really nothing going on in the Northeast. And the reason why we want to bring them to New Jersey and bring them to the Northeast is because they're great as a low-input crop. They need little to no irrigation to grow, very minimal pesticide usage, which is in sharp contrast to many of the other fruit and vegetable crops that we grow in the Northeast, which require a lot of these inputs and, you know, perhaps makes them a little bit less sustainable. So these hazelnuts can be grown on more marginal land and, you know, just provide more sustainability. So the popularity of them is also rising through products like Nutella. That's becoming much more popular. The fresh nuts are very healthy, so that's something we're trying to promote. They have a similar fatty acid profile and oil profile to olive oil, and that's one of the things I'm going to be discussing in a minute as part of my research. So there's a couple big breeding challenges that we face with hazelnuts. The biggest one is the disease Eastern filbert blight. Now, this is found on the native hazelnuts that are found all throughout the eastern U.S. And what we're trying to grow is the hazelnuts from Europe. They're a much more quality hazelnut. That's what they grow in Italy and some of these other countries. When we bring them over, they get this disease. So my professor has done many collections around the world to find diverse sources of resistance, and that's pretty much has been what we've done to solve this first challenge. The second challenge, which is what my research is focused on, is finding cold hardy pollinizers. So as you can see right here, this is our female flower. The female flowers as well as the buds are actually very, very tolerant to the cold weather. They can withstand the winter very easily. But it's the male flowers, the catkins up here, that are very sensitive to the cold. And some of these, like, January, February temperatures, when these catkins are starting to come out, they can be killed by the winter. So what we're trying to look into is to find other sources of pollen other than the standard Corollis avellana, which is the European one. So we're looking into Corollis americana, the American hazelnut. So our question is, can we use either this pollen or a hybrid pollen for pollinization in the orchards? And there's a few big differences between this crop, which is important to understand what we're doing. First of all, the European nuts are a lot larger. They're more spherical, which makes them better for processing. They drop to the ground, which makes them a lot easier to harvest. And they have a much more upright plant growth, which contributes to them being easier for mechanization, which is what we want. The American hazelnut is a much smaller, bushier plant. The nuts don't fall to the ground at maturity, so that's not ideal. But the huge difference here, and what's important, is that they have very cold hardy catkins. And this cold hardiness is really what we need to create, to, you know, put forward this new crop. We can't have something going out that might get wiped out every 4 or 5 years by this cold weather. So this is incredibly, incredibly important. So what we're looking, like I said, can we use the Corollis americana or the Corollis americana avellana hybrids for the pollination? And if we do this, what will be the effects on the physical and oil characteristics? Because this is very important for, like, the health benefits and the other aspects of the hazelnuts, you know, in terms of nut quality. We don't want the quality to go down. So before we would make any recommendations to farmers, we'd want to ensure that we'll get good nuts. One reason why we're doing this is there's something in another crop, in chestnuts, when they used another species as a pollinizer, when they used the Chinese chestnut as a pollinizer, they got internal kernel breakdown. And it's not a disease. This effect here is actually from just the two species interacting with each other, and you get this brown lesion inside the nut. And luckily we've never seen this with hazelnut, but that's just one of our concerns and why we wanted to look into this a little more closely. So for our experiment, we used three mother plants, two selections from Oregon, Yamhill and Santiam, and one of the Rutgers numbered selections. We used 6 pollens, 2 of the Americans, 2 of the hybrids, and 2 of the Europeans. Also an open pollinated control, and we had 2 replications per pollen. You can just see in the picture here, this is how we set up our bags, to bag the trees, to cover them up, and then we come through about a month later while they're still covered, take the bags off, hand pollinate all the flowers, and put the bags back on until all the pollen shed is done. The nuts are then harvested and dried for physical evaluations. And some past work that one of my colleagues has already presented showed that the kernel weight, the nut set, the sphericity, and a lot of these other factors were not affected when were not statistically different between the European nuts and the hybrid nuts. But unfortunately, the American pollens produced almost no results. We had almost no nut set. So it's pretty certain that we can't use the Americans, but the hybrids look pretty good. The next step, which is what I'm about to show you, is looking at the actual oil and to see if the oil and the fatty acid profile was affected by using these hybrids, because so far they looked pretty good as for pollination. So this is just showing you the differences between the mother trees, which we're not quite as interested in, but I just want to show you this. This shows your oil percentages are somewhere between 60 and 70%, and they're not statistically different between the mothers. But what we really want to look at here was, so here's how it's broken down. Nebraska 1 and Nebraska 10 over here are 2 hybrid pollens. And then in the middle here, we have Sacagawea and Eubob. Those are 2 European pollens. Those are considered like standard Oregon varieties, and then the Nebraska pollens are the hybrid pollens that have come out of the Midwest, so they're a lot more cold hardy. And we also included the open pollinated ones here. And even though there's no statistical difference, this is actually really exciting results for our breeding program, because this means that our Nebraska pollinators are producing just as much oil content as the European pollinators, which, you know, we see some percentages here from 65, even up to 68%, and that's considered really good. So in some past studies by one of my colleagues, she found that the average for non-European hazelnuts was only around 60% oil, and the European hazelnuts was around 67%. So we're seeing numbers here, even when the hybrid pollens were used, very consistent with what we want to see with the European hazelnuts and what's considered a good oil yield. So the fact that all of them are statistically similar is actually really good for what we're doing. And so the next step after looking at the oil yield was to look at the fatty acid profile. And there's 4 major fatty acids that are found, and we wanted to see if the pollen parents had an effect on that as well. We use gas chromatography, and if you're not familiar with it, I just want to explain a little bit about it. So the oil samples get injected into this column, and the column is slowly heated inside of the gas chromatograph. And over time, over a period of about 20 or so minutes, these fatty acids will come off. And they're going to be read as a peak on the computer at certain times. And the retention time is shown here in minutes. These are 4 fatty acids. And the area is pretty much when the peak is integrated. That shows you the proportionality between each fatty acid that's found in these samples. So this is just, before we show you the effects of the pollinators, this is just an overview of what we find in the hazelnuts. They're about 89% oleic acid and about 5% linoleic. And these are important because these are 2 unsaturated fatty acids. These are considered our healthy fats. So hazelnuts are considered a healthy crop because you can see, like, that's most of the pie chart here is our unsaturated acids. And there's only a few percent, 4% palmitic and 2% stearic. Those are saturated fatty acids. And our percentages are going to be a little bit different when I go to the next page because we have to use an internal standard. This one is calibrated for 100%, but for statistical purposes, we couldn't calibrate the other ones. So it's going to show around like 80 to 82 for a lake, but it's all the same data. So what we found with oleic acid was, just like the oil results, was that the hybrid pollens here, the Nebraska 1 and Nebraska 10, were statistically similar, which is another good sign in terms of our breeding program, because it shows these can be used as pollinizers, and they more than likely be very effective. We do have a little bit more variability in the open pollinated, which is kind of what we'd expect here, just because they're getting sources from a lot of different pollens, but still, they're all statistically the same. Now, we have some other interesting results. We actually did see some statistical significance in our saturated fatty acids, the palmitic and the stearic. For palmitic, one of our European pollens, Ubov right here, that was shown to be a statistically greater content of palmitic than the other two. And the other one, stearic acid, we do also see a little bit of statistical difference. It's not quite as sharp here, but Ubov, again, one of the European pollens, is statistically greater than Nebraska 10, one of the hybrids. And just to mention the other one, linoleic acid, we did not see any statistical differences. I don't have the graph for that because it looked pretty much the same as oleic. You know, no statistical differences there. And, you know, why this is interesting. Okay, so we do see a little bit more of these saturated fatty acids appearing when the Europeans were used as the pollinizers. But that's not necessarily a bad thing because for health-wise, we don't want as many of these anyway. So the quality of the nuts seem to be very consistent, and the fact that, you know, the variation here was only seen, you know, is very slight in these saturated fatty acids, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that we're going to discount these as pollinators because we saw a little bit of a difference. Like I said, the oil percentages, they were pretty much the same for both the Europeans and the hybrid pollens. In a good range, around 65%, which is what we really want to see when we're for harvest and for commercial viability. And we did see a little bit of difference in the palmitic and stearic. And this is probably due to different pathways. We've never studied these in detail. That's probably something we might look into. But just the conversion, they're very close biochemically, like one double bond off or two more carbons on the chain. So that might be something we look into in the future, like the enzymes are obviously a little bit different. And we do expect that there would be some effect because the nuts themselves are cotyledon tissue. So the cotyledon tissue is obviously influenced by both parents. But it seems like in this situation, most of the nut quality seems to be determined by the female parent. So there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of negative effect here from using these hybrids as pollinators. So some of the other stuff we want to look into in the future, we have a second year of data coming in actually right now. The harvest just happened. And our preliminary results, we did not get much nut set at all from the American pollens. We used more this year. We used 5 instead of 2 to try to see what was happening there. But it seems like the crosses only work the other way. Because we do have hybrids, so obviously they can cross. But it's you have to use the Americans as the mothers on those, which we're not going to do because we don't want to harvest those. We also want to do some headspace analysis on the GC. The headspace looks more at the volatile compound, so that's more what's going to influence the flavor, which is obviously important. And what we've kind of just seen from anecdotal evidence is that there's not a whole lot of flavor differences in hazelnuts. It's not like a lot of other crops where that's incredibly important. They seem to have pretty consistent flavor. So it's more looking at like the oil and stuff and the health of them that's more important. And hopefully within a few years, we'll have some pollinizer recommendations. Because like I said, right now there's no industry present in the Northeast. It's just the stuff on our research farms. And we're going to be starting some farmer trials with this soon as well. So hopefully we can create a new industry out of this. And of course, I'd like to acknowledge, of course, my professor and all the other graduate students that have helped me, but also funding from New Jersey Ag Experiment Station, our USDA grants, and to Shimadzu for letting us use their GC in the lab. And if we have time, I can take a few questions, I guess. Right now we have 2 undergrads, me and one other person, about 5 or 6 grad students, and then my professor and his 1 full-time research assistant. And that's about all that's working on this project right now. By myself? I did I mean, I did a lot of, I did like all the measuring for the, like even the stuff I didn't present today and that my colleague presented, I did a lot of like the measurements and stuff for the sphericality, for the weight. I did all this stuff that I described in the lab. We did like sosolid extractions to get the oil out. So, you know, it's a pretty involved process to run all those. We had about maybe 90 samples we ran through sosolid. And we ran about 270 on the GC, and with that was involved, all those had to be esterified first, because that's how we get a good read on the GC, is we do an esterification. So I prepped all those, and I mean, really where I had help, I mean, they helped me with some statistics and some other stuff, but most of the data collection I pretty much did myself. You're welcome. Yeah, it's a good question. So that was one of the things that we originally had looked into, but more than likely the value of the fresh nuts and even like processed nuts for food is going to far exceed their value for oil, just because they're, I guess olive oil is a lot, like you think of olive oil and stuff, but that's like a lot more common. But the value just is too high here to really use it for that. It could be used because it's, like I said, it's got a great fatty acid profile, just like olive oil. So it's possible, but for right now, the value is high enough right here, we're not really going to have to do that. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think you get higher yields when you do the extraction. That's what I've heard, at least, because we pretty much get 100%. I think when we do like the cold press, we don't get quite the same oil extraction. And it might be a little more pure, too. I'm not sure. But I think that's one of the possibilities. So that fatty acid isn't really present in hazelnuts. So the four that I showed you, that's pretty much more or less like 99 to 100% of what we see in the hazelnuts. So they don't contain the omega-3s, even though they are, you know, they're considered very healthy. They have more of the other unsaturated fatty acids in them. All right, thank you.